got a lot to live up to, man, when Joe lays it down like that. Dang, right? Good stuff. So we're in this series right now called Satellite. And what do satellites do? They help us tune into things. They help us see things more clearly. They help us actually hear things more clearly. And they move and they set up and they get tuned in. And we want to be like satellites ourselves. We want to be able to get tuned in to what God has to say to us as individuals. And it's extremely important. Extremely important. So, but before we jump into it, I want to kind of walk you through this little journey with me. Imagine for a moment that you went to bed last night and you were in your own house, in your own country, and let's just assume for the sake of argument, because I know many of you probably speak more than one language, you only speak one language, and when you wake up in the morning, you are smack dab in the middle of the Amazon jungle surrounded by a jungle tribe. And they're not going to eat you. They're nice jungle people. They're a nice jungle tribe. But you have no form of communication whatsoever. The only thing that you have is this base communication that is like childlike or even beyond childlike. Why I'm kind of introducing this idea to you is because I want us to understand how important communication really is to us. It's vital to who we are as human beings. It's actually what separates us from all other creatures on the planet is our ability to communicate. And so your communication is going to be the thing that helps you understand, get direction to get where you're going, right? All of us have phones, cell phones, all of us use computers. We have communication coming at us all the time. There's this pretty awesome TV show that I used to watch, and it was only for a couple seasons. It's on the History Channel, and it's called Dude, You're Screwed. And anybody know this show? Anybody? Nope, I'm the only weird one in the room. Great. Awesome. Well, it's an ex-Navy SEAL, a Green Beret, a Marine, British paramilitary, and a survivalist from North America. And they're all friends, like really close friends. And what they decided to do is that they would randomly choose one guy, and they would, didn't matter what you were doing, where you were at, they would come and find you, whether you were by the swimming pool with your wife and your kids or shopping in the supermarket. They would run up, they would kidnap him, throw him in a van, and next thing you knew, he was getting thrown out of a helicopter in some part of the world. And he can only survive with what he's got in his pockets at the moment. So you had these guys, they knew this was going to happen at some time. They didn't know what. So they had all these cute things tucked in their shoes and stuff. And they would pat them all down and pull knives out and pull all this stuff out. And then they would give them a tiny little care package. And it was so funny because sometimes they'd get a little stuffed teddy bear and then chuck them out the, you know. And some of them were on deserted islands. So he gets chucked in the water, has to swim to the island. Another guy got dropped off in Norway somewhere on the hillside with a giant stuffed teddy bear. So imagine an ex-Navy SEAL up in the snow, and the only thing he's got is his clothes on his back and a giant stuffed teddy bear, figuring out how he's going to survive. And he doesn't know where he's at. He doesn't know what country he's in. And his communication is like, he has no communication with the outside world. This is sometimes what our relationship with God feels like. Anybody? I know me for sure. And communication is God himself is the author of communication. He's the one that thought up the whole thing. Our ability to communicate with each other, it's a gift. It's this beautiful, amazing gift. It was his idea. But here's the question. Does God still speak today? Yes, he does. And if he does, truly, then we got to have ourselves in tune with what he's saying and how he's saying it and why he's saying it. So as a follower of Jesus, we believe that God speaks in tons of ways. And one of the ways is he speaks to the natural world. It's called natural theology. And theology is just an old school word for saying the study of God. You know, theos is God in the Greek, and ologos, ology, that means study of, right? So it's the study of God. And in the natural world, we can actually ascertain some things about who God is. Check out what Psalms chapter 19, verse 1 says. This is David speaking thousands of years ago. He says something amazing. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the stars his handiwork. So The creation that we see, that we get to go see and look at, actually is speaking to us. It's communication. It's been set up in place for us to hear something from God, not only about him, how big and amazing and incredible he is. Every time we look at the stars and we go, wow, you made all that. You literally made all that. You're so outside of my ability to even comprehend who you are. It's this big, amazing thing, right? And we feel like this little speck of dust, but yet he loves you and wants to be with you. It's just an amazing experience. So he speaks to us through the natural creation. He also speaks to us through his word. But guess what? He also speaks to us through people. And this is where it gets tricky. And for us can get kind of funky. But I'm hopefully going to be able to kind of clear up some of the mud on this thing, okay? In the ancient times, Israel spoke through prophets. And in the Old Testament, you got these major prophets, these guys like Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel. And God chose these people to bring words to the community and to the surrounding countries. And these people were just normal folk like you and I, but they were empowered by God to share a word. And they've got entire books of the words that they were shared or that were given to them by God. And so these were literally men and women speaking from God's perspective for other people. Now, in the New Testament, which is the portion of the Bible that's about Jesus, his disciples, and the churches that they founded throughout the world, this idea that God still speaks through people actually still exists. Because some of us think like, oh, that's old school. We don't do that anymore. But listen to what the Apostle Paul says to the Ephesians church in chapter 4, verse 11 and 12. It says this. It says, "Now these are the gifts that Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets," there they are, "the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ." Now there's some crazy cool stuff jumping off in that verse, and I'm not going to unpack the whole thing, but I wanted us to see that that does exist. The ability to speak from God's perspective still exists within the church today, and how that happens is going to be where we're gonna land here. Oh, I lost my spot. Here we go. So this is really important. I need us all to get this one section before we even get into the first point, okay? When Jesus died on the cross, rose from the dead, and then went to heaven, ascended to the Father, something amazing took place. It was the radical relocation of God in the universe. Okay, Jesus was here with us. Then he ascended to the Father after he rose from the dead. After he rose from the dead and ascended, the scripture says he gave gifts to people. This gift was the Holy Spirit. Listen to what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. He says, "Do you not know that your body..." This body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God. So he's not just talking about us being a mind, body, spirit, being creature, although we are, but he's saying there's an additional something happening from God that's given to you through faith. Are you guys following me? So God has been actually relocated from the temple, because in the time of Jesus, the presence of God was associated with the temple in Jerusalem. You would go to the temple to be close to God. The Ark of the Covenant was there in the temple. Everybody remember Indiana Jones? That was a great, great film. And the Ark of the Covenant, that was where the presence of God presided. And when they opened that thing, all the Nazis died. It was pretty gnarly. But when Jesus ascended, the Spirit came into the life of the believer, all of a sudden, they're the temple. Their body is the temple. Wherever you're walking, wherever you're at, this is going to sound weird, but it's true. Church is on. You are a temple of the Holy Spirit. Now, the ramifications for what that is for us in our life is like staggering when you think about it. And even like, wow, jeez. Yeah, I'm a believer for sure, but man, I don't feel like a temple today, especially when I woke up this morning. You know what I mean? But it's true. And when we look at it and go, that is true, the grace of God becomes even more beautiful. It's phenomenal. Listen to what Jesus says about this experience of the radical relocation of God in the universe. He's no longer somebody that's far off. He's actually with us and in us. Check this out. John chapter 14, verse 16 and 17 says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Say forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. Why? Because they didn't have faith yet. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Jesus is saying, I'm with you. The Holy Spirit is with us. But he's pointing to a time when the Spirit was actually going to be in them. And this gets transferred through faith, by faith. It gets transferred. Listen to what Jesus says again in John 14. This is an amazing chapter, by the way. John 14, write it down if you get an opportunity. Read through this thing, because as it pertains to this radical relocation of God in the universe and being alive in inside his followers, it's like right there, John 14, 15, 16. It's really amazing. Listen to what Jesus says again. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I've said to you. So you have the Spirit of God living in you, actually communicating to you and reminding you. Why do we need to be reminded? Thick-headed, right? That's me, maybe not you. But we need to be reminded of who God is, what he wants us to do. And because God's been radically relocated, he's not somewhere in a temple or in the ark. He's actually alive in you. There's something that he's calling us all to do. This is number one in your notes. God speaks through me to others. See, God is always active. He's always reaching out for his kids. He's always reaching out for the benefit of people knowing who he is and how great he is. It's part of why the stars are set in the sky, and we get to look at it and go, wow, you are huge. It's communicating to us. God is always busy communicating to us. We just have to get in line. Listen to what this verse is. It's a long verse, but it's a great, great illustration. Acts chapter 8, verse 26 through 35. This is Philip, who walked with Jesus, saw Jesus die, saw Jesus rise from the dead, and saw Jesus ascend into heaven. It says, now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, rise and go towards the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. Just to give you a little background heads up, that's a 40-mile stretch of desert. And God gives them no other plan but that. Can you get up for me and just go walk in the desert? That doesn't sound like fun. I'd say, dude, send Peter. Can we get somebody else to go on this trip? Because I'm cool where I'm at. I mean, he was probably in Jerusalem hanging out, doing something fun. But he's like, no, get up and go down. And it says right there, this is a desert place. But he obeyed, it says, and he rose and went. And there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all of her treasure. So this is a majorly rich dude. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning, seated in his chariot. And he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit, this is the Holy Spirit, alive in the believer, the radical relocation of God, said to Philip, go over and join this chariot. Again, I would say, can we get Peter to do that? Because that's like running towards a tank. In that day and age, the equivalent of a chariot for them, that was a tank. It was like horses and spears. It was like this. It was not something an average person from Jerusalem would do. Run towards this chariot. No, I'm going to get killed. Right? But he does it anyway. And as he's running up, Spirit says, go over and join this chariot. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet. And this is so cool. So God says, go to this desert. I'm not telling you why. He gets there. He sees this chariot. The Spirit says, go to the chariot. And as he's going to the chariot, he sees that he's reading the prophet Isaiah. Talk about like synchronicity and how amazing God is. You don't know what he wants you to do, but you obey and you start going, and it just unfolds as you go. It's an amazing experience. So he walks up to him and says, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, how can I unless someone guides me? Right? He wants to understand. He wants to be communicated to. And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now, the passage of scripture that was that he was reading was this. Like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter. Like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life was taken away from the earth. And the eunuch said to Philip, about whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else? Then Philip opened his mouth. Beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. So this empowerment, this radical relocation of God, listening to the Spirit of God and being moved down a desert road and getting into this experience, and what's it all for? So that he could share the love of Jesus with this person. I want to share with you a quick little story because God wants to use us. Now, some of you may be kind of not, you're kicking the tires on this whole religion thing, and you don't really, you know, Jesus, whatever. But those of you that do know, he wants to use you in the lives of people. Truly, he wants to use you, warts and all, because none of us are perfect. You can't clean yourself up, and then you're ready to share and speak life into someone's life. It doesn't work that way. Philip knew that. Peter knew that. These were all just dirty fishermen, farmer, shepherds. They didn't have it all together. I remember one time I was eating at In-N-Out Burger, because that's a holy place. And I was with a friend of mine, and we're sitting there eating, and his back was facing the restaurant. And I saw this guy walk towards the door, kind of right behind him. And he kind of walked towards the door, did one of these numbers, and then walked, and then did one of these numbers, and then did this. And I was like, what is going on? And my buddy's like talking to me the whole time. And I'm like, maybe this guy's going to rob the place, because he looked kind of sketchy to me. And all of a sudden, he starts walking away completely. And then this gal sits up that I didn't even see. She was kind of sitting down on the curb and starts walking. And as soon as she got up and kind of locked arms with him and started walking, I kid you not, and I'm not a super spiritual person by any means, God told me exactly what was going on in their life and said, you need to go talk to them about freedom in me. And I have my burger in my mouth. I'm like, what are you talking about? And so my friend's still talking to me, and it felt like forever, but maybe it was like 30 seconds or 20 seconds. I dropped my burger. I said, dude, just wait just 1 second. And I started walking towards this man and this woman. And I'm kind of, they're hustling. I'm getting after him. And he is just about to get into his truck, and she's going around the backside. And I'm like, hey guys, hey. And he turns around, and he's like, what? And I was like, can I pray for you? And he's like, I don't got time for this, man. I was like, dude, I came all the way over here. I just want to pray with you guys. And he's like, fine. And his girlfriend comes around. She's like, yeah, let's do that. And I started to share my life with them a little bit, because my background comes out of some rough stuff. And so I started communicating that to them, and they were like, wow, yeah, you know, okay. And then I started to get a little bit deeper into what the Lord had told me, because he specifically told me, he said, they are Oxycontin addicts, and you need to talk to them about freedom in Christ. And I was like, okay. And then I began to share the story about my youngest brother, who passed away when he was 26 years old, and he has struggled with addiction in his life, and struggled with pharmaceutical addiction. And he was getting some major freedom in that area in his life, and then about a year into that, his life ended. And when I said that to him, they just turned white as ghosts, and then they just confessed all. And all of a sudden, I turned into Sir. They were like, actually, Sir, we are Oxycontin addicts, and we're about to get on an airplane and go to Alaska. So yes, would you pray for us? And so I began to pray for them, and they received the Lord right there in front of In-N-Out Burger, because of one guy, just a goober from Sacramento, heard the word of the Lord and got up and went over to share with them what God had told them. And all it was just a little bit of encouragement from the Spirit and just obeying. And I don't say that because I'm this great, awesome person, and that's why I got the microphone, because I'm not. I say this because every single one of you, myself included, need to have those experiences. You need to have those experiences, or your faith becomes very, very dull. I mean, when I shared with them, and they begin to weep, and we locked hands, and they knew that the creator of all life, the one who made the stars, was reaching out to them and spoke to them in their own language through their pain and their struggle, and wanted to set them free, they received the Lord. And that's what God calls us to do. Amen. Amen. This is number two in your notes. Hey, did somebody? Amen, little man. Yeah, buddy. Love it. This is number two in your notes. God speaks through others to me. Okay, now this is where it gets weird. Okay, because we feel comfortable with ourselves. Like, okay, I can hear maybe God wants me to say this word of encouragement to this person, and you trust yourself to communicate that in a very positive, loving, caring way. But when the shoe's on the other foot and someone's coming at you going, hey, I got a word from the Lord for you, you kind of, I do, I'm like, I let them know up front, I appreciate what you're getting ready to do, and I'm going to listen, and I'm going to listen intently, and I will let you know where you're at on the Richter scale, whether or not you hit pay dirt. You know what I'm saying? Because if you don't, you all of a sudden give that person authority, and really they don't. And you need to take that authority back and say, you know, I'll listen, but I'll let you know whether or not this is really a word from the Lord. It's because when you think of this, you think of you know, the televangelists and the guys that change their voices, and they change who they are when they get ready to share something with someone. You know what I'm saying? You guys know what I'm talking about. I know you've encountered it. Although I love those people, they're awesome, I'm not judging them whatsoever, I think that God speaks in our language. He wants to speak your language. When I shared the word with that couple in front of In-N-Out Burger, it was in their own language. It was something that they could understand. It wasn't something that repulsed them or made them uncomfortable, made them feel weird. It met them right where they lived, in their heart of hearts. And that's what God wants. When we're going to humble ourselves to receive a word from someone, because that's kind of the experience, you got to take it with a grain of salt. You have to take it with a grain of salt. Scripture says to test the spirits to see whether or not they're from God. That's positive. And when you're communicating, this is for those of you that have that tendency to hear things from the Lord for other people's lives. When you're communicating, you need to do it in their language. You need to do it in their language, how they're going to best respond. And I guarantee you, the Lord will take you on that journey. You don't have to take the wheel. And we're going to get into that in just a second. So another funny story. This is really cool. We've been in Santa Cruz for about a year. This is my wife, Erica, over here, by the way. She was up here playing the piano. Yeah, you can clap. Please clap. She's definitely the better half of this union. And my daughter was right here. That was Cora. And then Josiah, my son, he's running around here somewhere, football player, crazy kid. He's not in here right now. He's in the first service. We moved here about a year ago, and a year prior, so 2 years ago, I was standing in a parking lot in Utah. And yeah, she's laughing because she knows. I was standing in a parking lot in Utah, and I was living in Utah. We had been there for maybe 7 months, and we felt a distinct call of God. We lived in Sacramento to the Utah area to minister to all people there, but also the Mormon people. And I was serving on staff at a church, and with a good friend of mine, and several friends of mine were actually on staff on this church, and we had another campus going, and I'd been communicating and preaching at both campuses and having a really good time. And my friend, he was our lead pastor, he's like, hey, you know, you've been going over to this second campus. Would you think about, you know, really taking that over? And I was like, yeah, man, that's exactly what I want to do. And I walked away from the conversation at the coffee shop just stoked, right? And I'm walking to my car and I'm praying. I'm like, God, I'm really thick-headed and I don't always hear you right. And I just want to know that this is what you want me to do. I got to know. And when you pray from your heart that way, God will answer you. You just got to be brave enough to like obey what he says. And what he said at that moment, kid you not, I'm walking in my car. He says, turn around. I'm like, well, that's easy enough. I mean, talk about, I wanted to be obedient, so I just turned around. And it wasn't like this word from heaven, the skies didn't part and anything like that. It was just this gentle nudge inside of my spirit that I felt. And a lot of you sense that, and sometimes you kind of chalk it up as like some bad hamburger or something like that, but it's God talking to you. I turn around, and I'm looking back at the shop, at the coffee shop, and I'm like, what's going on? And I always think like a robbery's going to happen. I'm Mr. Negative. You know, at the In-N-Out, I was like, this guy's going to rob the place. I'm a street kid, so it kind of all goes that way. You know, I'm trying to kind of protect people and stuff. And I'm looking at the coffee shop. I'm like, okay, what's going on? What's going to happen? And then I zero in on this vehicle, and it has a huge bumper sticker on it. Huge. Says Santa Cruz. And I heard again in my spirit, don't forget about Santa Cruz. And my wife and I have been coming to this community for our whole marriage, 18 years, and we've been praying for this community for just as long. And we've always felt a nudge in this direction, but we didn't know anybody here, didn't know how to get, we were just kind of like, okay, we'll just continue to pray for this community. And I'm in Utah, and the Lord says, hey, don't forget about Santa Cruz. Yeah, well, I was just asking you if you wanted me to go do this like 2 miles down the road. And he's like, no, 670 miles that way, homie. I was like, what are you talking about? So moral of that story is that God can speak to you through bumper stickers. And we're here. We're here today because of that, honestly. And through much prayer and through much submission to authority in our lives and friends and saying, hey, we feel this nudge. And they're like, yeah, man, go for it. And God literally opened door after door to get us here today. And I'm so blessed to be here with you this morning, to be sharing with you. I mean, it's beyond amazing for me. Maybe not for you, but for me, it is. So, quick little story about God speaking through people, okay? Really quick. My family, mom and dad, super, super lovers of people and lovers of Jesus. They're amazing. They've been through a lot in their life, and they're extremely wise. And so we would always get around them when we were going through stuff and needed some extra love. And so we were hanging out with them, and they hang out with this group of believers that were started this little get together as a worship night on Thursday nights. And the thing started to grow, man. And it was going on for like 5 years. And they weren't a church. They were just a group of people that got together and worshiped Jesus. Some of these giftings of the Spirit flowed a little bit more. I don't know what you'd call it, but anyway, we're hanging out there, and sometimes that stuff can be kind of scary and weird. But this lady who was advanced in years, probably in her late 70s or something, didn't know her. She's like this tall. She comes up to me and she says, "I got a word for you, young man." And I'm like, "Oh boy, here we go," right? And she began to give me this word, and it was very specific, and I was praying. I was like, Lord, we're getting ready to go to Santa Cruz. Just say something about Santa Cruz just to confirm it like one more time, you know? Come on. But nothing. I was like, what? And so the lady gave me this word, and the word was intense. It was like this intense internal work that the Lord wanted to do in my life. She said, I see that you've got kind of these barbs like in your heart, and the Lord's actually pulling these things out, and he's healing you in these places. And I was like, whoa, that's deep. I was like, that's cool, but really didn't confirm much for me as in my direction. And she said, I also see that you're carrying this weight. It was kind of like talking to one of those ladies with a magic ball, you know. But she's like, I see you got this weight you're carrying, and you're going to thrust this weight out, and you're going to win with it. I'm like, she's like a shot putter. And I was like, whoa, okay, that's cool. And I was like, thank you for the word. That's great. And it was all very encouraging, very respectful. It wasn't like, you know, you need to go home and pack your bags and leave for some country I don't know or anything like that. It was just very, very loving and caring. I was like, that's cool. Well, 2 days later, I didn't think anything about it. I just thought it was a lady that maybe had some bad pizza or something and didn't get it. I'm sitting in a friend's house who helped us actually get into this community, helped us open doors, and the Lord used him in a mighty way. And he gave me a book that he wrote. He said, "Here, I want you to go through this." And the book, the title was Thorns in the Heart. I was tripping out, man. I looked at my wife, and she looked at me, and we were like, whoa, that old lady was down. She was like, she was so close to Jesus. It's not even funny. And then, and we totally thought it was, you know, totally left field, missed it. And then when we moved here, we had a little RV pad that we got to stay on for 6 weeks for free, that someone let us and said, "Hey, if you think this is God, we'll give you 6 weeks on an RV pad. Just get an RV and come on down." And we were like, okay. And we kind of had to pray through that and find an RV. It was an awesome experience. But we get to the RV site where this one little pad is, and it's in this park called Schaefer Park off of Pasatiempo on 17, just off the 17 right there. And this park was made by this one man named Wayne Schaefer, and an amazing individual here in Santa Cruz. He's been here for years. He's in his 80s now. Was a real estate agent, also a weightlifter early on. Just an in-shape dude. Even at 80-something, he was just, the dude is like in shape. And he built this whole park. He dedicated it to athletes and Christians and police officers that have given their lives on the line of duty. And so it's like this weird eclectic group of people that show up to this park, because not everybody knows about it. You just see this little sign, Schaefer Park, and this tiny little road that goes way down this hill and a bear, and that's all. And he built a chapel out there. He built like a 2-mile running course in there. And get this, he has an entire shot put discus professionally set up in this park. And we get there, and I'm walking around, and I'm like, oh, whoa, there it is. There's the shot put. And the Lord was speaking to me. Remember the lady? I'm like, oh, yeah. And so it was just a really cool experience. So I say all that to say that God will speak to you through other people, and sometimes it won't make sense. And sometimes it might not even feel good, because sometimes there's things growing in our lives that shouldn't be there. You know what I'm saying? You guys know what I'm talking about? And people will come along and be sent by God to communicate some love and some truth and some health into your life. And sometimes it's a cut against something that's growing there, so it's not going to feel the greatest. Don't get mad. Receive it as the truth in love, because that's what we're called to do. This is number three. I'm going to finish with this. God's words are for the encouragement and transformation of all people. That's what it's about. Not about condemnation. Not about shame. We get enough of that from ourselves. His words are always for your betterment, for your encouragement, and for your transformation. Now, I say that sounds rosy and awesome and you know, kittens and rainbows. But like I said, there's things growing in our lives that shouldn't be there. When those things get pulled up and cut and snipped, it doesn't feel very good. But really, it's for your encouragement. It's for your transformation as a person. Listen to what the prophet Isaiah says in Isaiah 55, verse 10 and 11. He says, "As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it." So God has this definite 100% purpose in communicating to you and then communicating through you, because of the radical relocation of God in the universe. He's no longer in the temple. He's no longer in the ark. He is living in you and with you. All of us need to embrace that reality in order to really live the Christian life. We have to embrace this reality. And I want to show you something. This verse in Isaiah has become so important to me, and I've seen so much beauty in this verse. Beauty of who God is and what his mission is. If you ever kind of want to wonder and think, God, what do you want me to say to this person? All you really have to do is draw from this verse, and it'll make sense to you. Listen to what the book of Isaiah says in 61:1-3. This is the mission of the Messiah, is what this is. Jesus spoke this word when he came out of the desert being tempted for 40 days by the enemy. Jesus said these words. And he pulled them out of Isaiah 61. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor." Good news. "He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit." All you got to do is replace the words "me" in there with "you," with your name. If you are a follower of Jesus, he's called you. The Spirit of the Lord is upon you. He wants to renew your heart on a daily basis, because you're not perfect. You're not going to be perfect until you die. But then he wants to love other people through you. And he's going to send people your way to love you that are full of his Spirit. Amen. Amen.